Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's hashtag third hour with Tobin, Leroy, and Beast. With Robbie the Degenerate.
That's so cheesy.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. Beast had to leave early. He had the bubble guts. Or the bubble yaks. I don't know what you call it when you're just throwing up like all over the place. But he had to get the hell out of here. This is an interesting one, Leroy. So, Lance Stephenson, he told TMZ...
Are we really listening to Lance Stephenson?
Hear this out. So, he said that Kobe was mentoring the Lakers... And that he was at practice, basically, he was at every Lakers practice. That he had his eye on it.
Until LeBron got to.
We know that he had that he has Pelinka, that Pelinka is the team's general manager. So Lance Stephenson had come out, and he had said that that he's always coming to practice, that he's always monitoring it. You know, it was a TMZ interview, so you always got to be you always got to be a little bit wary of that, but he said that he always comes to practice. Now, Kobe, he denies this. Kobe came out, and on First Take, Stephen A. Smith went on and said that he has never been to a single practice.
Ooh.
According to Stephen A., I spoke to Kobe yesterday, and he says, quote, I have never been to a single practice. Those were his exact words. Obviously, there's going to be people who believe he's lying. I'm going to take him at his word because I don't have any proof that he is lying, number one. And number two, it's pretty easy to disprove, but Kobe is not just smart, he's brilliant. So you have to also pick apart his words from time to time. And when he says, I haven't been to a single practice, that doesn't mean that he hasn't been to the Lakers facility. It does not mean that he has not had conversations with teammates. I definitely believe it's plausible that Kobe has talked to individual players about basketball, but I think the reason Kobe felt he needed to say that, and he had to reiterate something to me weeks ago, is that he didn't have nothing to do with this Lakers mess. So he wants to detach himself from this.
Of course.
Now, you say, am I going to believe Lance Stephenson? But here's the thing. Why would Lance Stephenson lie about that?
Why would Pelinka lie?
Oh, well, come on. He just looks like a liar. Lance Stephenson, I don't see to be a liar. Just a, you know, he's a dope.
Yeah.
He's a dope who blows in people's ears. Kobe kind of strikes me as he's going to say what's convenient for Kobe from time to time.
Of course. Of course. So I
and
think
I would say, like, if he did do it, it is looking upon kind of like you're stepping on LeBron's toes. You're like the overshadow guy.
You know what? Like, I think people are making a lot of that. But I think LeBron would handle Kobe at practice just like he would if Magic was at practice. Like, he respects the game. Like, there's, like, say what you want about LeBron. He does respect the history of the NBA.
Right.
And he does respect former players. And he's never, ever, ever given, you know, the feeling that he wouldn't, he would have a problem with a former player coming around.
I don't think so. And in fact, I think from my standpoint, I kind of look at it like, I think that the great parallel to this is always Jeter A-Rod with the Yankees fans. Like, I do think that there's going to be a divide of Lakers fans that aren't going to fully embrace LeBron James.
Sure.
Until he wins something like Kobe. And it's going to be hard to match that because Kobe won 5 with the Lakers. Nobody's expecting a 34-year-old LeBron James to win 5 rings with the Lakers.
Right.
But even if he were to win 1, I don't know if Lakers fans are going to embrace him the way they do Kobe. And I think from LeBron's standpoint, I think you're right. I think he would be very receptive to having Kobe there. But I think Kobe's always going to be like the guy who's very protective because he knows that people want to knock him down on that all-time peg, and they want LeBron James to pass him in the hierarchy.
I think Kobe wouldn't do it, but I think somebody said, yeah, he hasn't been to a single practice. He's been to multiple practices.
I picture Kobe Bryant like with those detective double windows, and they like look up, and it looks like a mirror, but Kobe's looking through the other side.
You mean the one-way mirrors?
Is it the double mirrors? It's a one-way mirror?
Double mirrors, two mirrors.
Double window?
What is it?
Single-way mirror?
No, it's a two-way window.
Whatever, man. You know what I'm talking about. The detective show mirrors.
Yes.
Windows.
Yes.
That's what I picture.
But he wouldn't... Like, the thing is that LeBron doesn't seem like the type of guy that would have a problem with that at all. Here's where it gets funny. And it's this. We're all looking at it from the LeBron side.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe might be like, yo, if I go down there and start chopping it up with LeBron and those players, it's going to look like I'm giving credibility or the okay to LeBron.
Mm.
And I don't want to do that because they're already trying to replace LeBron with me. So I'll play your game for a second.
All right. I like it. Or what about this? What if?
Oh, see, I didn't.
No. Hear me out. What if the Kobe was observing and nobody was supposed to see him, but Lance Stephenson kind of hopelessly wandered and was able to find him because he's Lance Stephenson? And Pelinka was planning to oust him the whole time, so he goes up in power, and Kobe is the top ambassador. Huh?
Man, those players ain't coming around to be no damn ambassador. They want a title. They want a role.
That's right.
Right?
Like D. Wade, President Wade.
First, we got to get him out of California.
We will. He was over here. I saw him at his Aventura restaurant with UD.
He was at the Stoneman Douglas.
Stoneman Douglas.
Right.
Want to know why? Can't stay away. Stay away from that.
Okay.
He's got restaurants.
Okay.
Beautiful house.
Okay.
I'm sure you'll eventually get tired of the taxes and want to move back.
Yeah. L.A. It's for the birds, man. Now, there was news, like, what did you guys, when I was gone, there was news that his son is enrolling over.
Well, yeah, he was teaming up with LeBron's kid.
Interesting.
It sounds like he'll be there. I mean, how many years does he have left in high school?
I think he's only got one, because I think after that, he's going to go, obviously, play for the University of Miami and Jim Larrañaga.
Oh, there you go. Wade has to come back.
Boom.
Or Marquette.
At least it gets him out of California.
Let's get the headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Well, I guess it's my department now. Marlins and Brewers tonight. Something fishy going on with this game, by the way. 7:40, first pitch. Sandy Alcantara, people still don't know how to say his name, especially the national guys. The local guys, I think, have figured it out by now. Jimmy Nelson going for the Brewers, making his first start in 21 months, and it's his birthday. And the Brewers are huge favorites tonight.
Really?
Yeah, so my theory earlier about the big strike zone, because it's his birthday and, you know.
Well, and you know what, Robbie? This is going to go unnoticed from yesterday's game because it was a wild blowout. But that umpire may have a little team petty in him because the groundskeeper was getting a little mouthy with him.
Oh, yeah, that first base umpire. Leroy. And he's behind the plate today.
Exactly.
Oh, my.
Groundskeeper, who doesn't ever react to anything. He's the groundskeeper. He's stoic. This umpire, he couldn't see a check swing to save his life. I mean, he kind of just flinched his hands, didn't commit at all, called him for swinging twice. And groundskeeper's like, what the bleep?
You got to be kidding me.
He's like, you got to be kidding me. And so now that guy's behind the plate tonight might have a little salt in his wounds because the Marlins are getting in their feelings. Look out for it.
It's amazing. You know what I hate about life?
The big favorites.
Like,
minus 260.
I played in a profession, and usually if you are a professional athlete or an athlete in general, college level, whatever,
yep.
You have to have very thick skin.
No doubt.
Right? Nobody else does. Everybody's sensitive. I mean,
especially the umps.
Officials. Umps.
Did you see this?
Everybody's so damn sensitive.
Zazzle told me about this morning. Did you see what happened in the Yankees? I think it was Yankees Blue Jays.
Oh, Angel Hernandez?
Yeah. Angel Hernandez, who's renowned as one of the worst umpires in the world, Leroy.
Oh, you got to see this.
I got to show you this. This was unbelievable yesterday.
They got a whole little thing.
I mean, it was all because of how the catcher caught the ball.
He was so bad yesterday, and he got so mad. He got all in his feelings because
they were booing him.
He called this pitch. Look at this with Tanaka right down the plate. Right down the plate. And the call calls it a ball. And Tanaka's like,
even Gary Sanchez stopped to turn around. He's like, bro, are you serious?
Like, look at this. That's where this, right down the pipe. And the guy calls it a ball. And everybody already thinks he's the worst umpire ever. And at one point, Tanaka is like, and the guy, and he shows up the pitcher and he throws up his own arms because he wants to be a sensitive ump. It's ridiculous.
Surprised he didn't get tossed. Nobody got tossed. I mean, that's what sensitive umps do. They throw people out.
I can't believe it, man. Like, that guy's, and he's been an umpire forever. And the thing with umpires, like, they have a really strong union. They have a really strong union. And so MLB has to deal with them, and these guys never lose their job.
You got Angel Hernandez. You got C.B. Buckner.
That's why you got
Country Joe West.
Country Joe West is 1,000 years old out there trying to distinguish whether or not a guy got umpires. They go by sound and sight. He's 100. 100 years old.
I mean, like, it couldn't be anymore. But it's probably because a lot of times he's looking at how far away it is from the, wow.
Well, I think he got thrown off by the catcher having to adjust to where
right,
he was catching the
exactly.
ball.
Exactly. The catcher was sitting inside, and he threw it over the plate, and the catcher kind of reached
it. He had to move for it.
Right.
Frame rate.
That's the, that's the opposite. And we also
look now. Everybody turns and looks.
Yeah, Gary Sanchez does a double take.
That's when you know you are bad.
Bad. I mean,
wait, but even that's bad. But it can't be worse than the Saints game.
Well, look out for tonight. Heavy betting favorite is the Brewers. Umpire behind home plate, who was first baseman umpire yesterday. There's some fish in there. 12 catfish.
All I'm saying is be on the lookout because
Bolo.
Groundskeeper got a little mouthy last night with the first plate umpire with the first base umpire who's now behind the plate tonight.
If I played baseball, how many times do you think I'd be ejected?
A lot.
Oh, you think?
Umpire minus one. Oh, you're out of here.
Hey, how about this? As long as I played football, how many 15-yard penalties do you think I got?
One.
15 yards personal foul?
Yeah.
Three.
One.
For what?
In my whole life. High school, college,
NFL. Is this where you blindsided somebody?
No, well.
It was on an interception.
We were playing Notre Dame, and the ball got batted up in the air, and Chris Zordich, who's a defensive lineman on Notre Dame's team, he caught it, and he was running, and I chased him all the way from the other side of the field, and he went out of bounds, and I was like, psh. I ain't running all the way over here for nothing. Boop, click.
But was it an actual 15-yard penalty, or was it half the distance because it's like inside the 10-yard line when you make the
no,
tackle?
No. It was 15 yards. It was 15 yards.
And you never got one in the NFL?
No.
What about a low block? Well, I don't know if that was a penalty back then.
No, I didn't cut. Like, no, I would tell the guys, I ain't going to cut you, but if you dumb truck me, I'm going to cut you.
No, man. If you were a baseball player, you would look back at the umpire. And you just go, that's horrible.
I'm like,
horrible.
I have said this to an official. I scored a touchdown. And what you have to understand is, you know, like with running backs, they try to do a whole lot of shady stuff.
Like what?
So, like, you know, they'll tackle you and then walk their junk across you.
Yeah.
Or they'll push up with your face.
Yeah,
or and whatever.
Or you'd be like Dolphins first round pick Christian Wilkins and give him the old thumbs up.
And so so they kept like putting their hand in my face mask, pushing me to the side. I scored one time, and there's a picture with the guy's hand on my face pushing to get up. So I went to the official. I said, if you don't handle this, I will. Right? I said, because you're supposed to protect me from this nonsense.
Right.
And if you're not going to do it, just let me know, and I'll take care of it.
I could just see Leroy at the batter's box. We don't need robot umpires. We just need better umps.
Yes. Like, come on. Everybody wants replay. Everybody wants this. Everybody wants all these things. Wait. Like, the plays that we're complaining about these guys missing are standard plays.
Then there's going to be a point where, like, he's going to see somebody else get a call that he didn't get. And so then his next at bat, he's going to start it with By the way, that last at bat,
I could honestly say
boxing the umpire.
Hey, if I play baseball, games will last another 15 minutes because I'm getting mine in.
You'd be worse than Nomar at the batter's box.
What are you talking about? No, it wouldn't even be that.
Just be calm.
I probably get two pitches thrown by me because I'm staring down the ump. Right? Like, come on, look at this.
Horrible.
Nobody said anything to this guy. Look.
Well, the guy,
the pitcher's like,
I don't know if Tanaka speaks English.
Right? It don't matter. Look, you don't need to speak English. We know what you want to say.
We're back after this.
One foot in front of the other.
One foot. All right, welcome back, guys. Tobin Leroy here with you.
One foot in front of the other.
You can text the show 67974. It's brought to you by AccidentLawFirm.com. If that's how you want your voice heard, hit us up on that text machine, man. It's brought to you by AccidentLawFirm.com. Accident, don't expect the insurance company to play fair. Get a free consultation by going to AccidentLawFirm.com. A texter writes in, maybe Wade will become Lakers president and will trade LeBron to the Heat. And when Riley retires, Spo takes his spot and Wade becomes Heat coach. I don't think Wade wants to be Heat coach. Like, if you guys have followed the phases, and clearly this guy's not up to snuff on the phases, Wade wants to be president. President Wade. Tea leaves are all there. If you guys see it on social media, he's hinted very strongly. One day, him and Udonis Haslem are going to be running this mother bleeper. And look, I know there's a lot of great people who are atop the Heat organization. It's nothing against them. I like the job that they do. But he's Dwayne mother bleeping Wade. And so if Dwayne Wade wants to run the Heat organization, by all means, run the Heat organization. He's going to have the rings to throw on the table. He is going to be Miami Riley if he wanted to be by that time. And, you know, people get scared off of this because a guy like Magic Johnson didn't want to do the work. But look, Magic Johnson's got a track record of up and leaving a lot of the gigs that he's had, other than being a basketball player. It's coaching,
talk show,
all that type of stuff. It's a pattern of behavior. We don't know that about Dwayne Wade. Was done famously down here by Dan Marino, who's probably now around the Dolphins organization more than ever. He's in the quarterback room. And speaking of a guy who's had to see a lot of bad quarterbacking, this guy's out there having to watch Brock Osweiler film. I mean, if that's not dedication to wanting to do something with the organization, I don't know what is. But we get stained in these times because, you know, he held the job for 6 days back, you know, 15 years ago and think, well, he'll never want to do it again. I don't necessarily think that's the case. And a guy like Dwayne Wade, you get scared off because the guy has been so famous and has done all these great things, but you never know. You never know who has those drive for that thing, like Juwan Howard. We look at a guy like Chris Bosh, and he's made $200 million. He's like, he'll never want to coach. Dwayne Howard's made a lot of money in his career. Dude was an assistant coach in the NBA, and now look at him. He's coaching his damn alma mater.
Here's the difference. When Juwan Howard was at Michigan, everybody thought he was going to be a coach. So the money had nothing to do with it. D-Wade ain't going to be a coach.
No, not the coach. President.
He ain't going to be the president.
He's going to be president.
I'm telling you.
He's saying he wants to do it, man. He's laying the breadcrumbs down.
What did I tell you? How many years?
How many years did you say?
I say 3, 4, 5 years, maybe he'll consider it.
Oh, so now you're saying he's going to consider it.
I've always said that.
No,
you said that.
He didn't want to do it. You said he's too rich.
No, I didn't.
Too rich,
that's
famous.
That's not what I
gonna
said.
Go to LA. You say he's going to get
Hollywood.
That's
not what I said. What I said was, right, that guy spent so much time preparing for basketball and playing 82 game schedules and playoffs and all this stuff and fighting through injury. You think the first thing he wants to do out of basketball is spend even more time working in an organization? Get out of here. No chance.
I just think, yeah, I think that he's eventually going to like do all the stuff and he's going to want success again doing what he was good at. And I think that's going to be being a player. I think him being of this era of player empowerment, I think it's going to mean a lot to him to then be ahead of an organization. Yeah, I think that's going to mean a lot because, you know, he doesn't have the scratch to be an owner unless he's like in a huge group of like LeBron or something like that where and investors. But I do think it would mean a lot for him to have a piece and be the president.
Look, D-Wade is rich. Mika Harrison, wealthy.
Yep.
Okay. Jordan, wealthy. All right. So, like, you need to separate. LeBron, wealthy. LeBron, let's see, there's two people that are, LeBron's not there yet, but Tiger Woods is the only billionaire athlete.
Yep.
That means the guy's still doing what he does, and he's worth more than $1 billion.
And Floyd Mayweather, his numbers are fugazi. Can't trust it.
No, you can't. Right.
Can't trust it.
Right.
$10 million to go fight a Japanese guy. Come on.
I mean, if, like, you do it.
He said he spent $80 million on a chain, Leroy.
A chain?
Whoa. Yes. I can't trust anything the guy says.
You just remember he used to show those $1 million bets?
Oh, my God. His life is incredible. But, like, my favorite thing about Floyd Mayweather is, like, he color coordinates his car by city that he lives in.
Yep.
So he knows where he wakes up. He goes, what are those white cars? Oh, must be in Miami. What are those? The silvers? Vegas. Black? L.A. I know where I am.
The fact that he has enough money to have a full garage full of cars and a house and all the places he wants to visit.
Do you think that a guy like Floyd Mayweather looks at what happened with Anthony Joshua this past week and goes, you took out a guy who could knock you out? You idiot. You're supposed to find an actual fat guy that can't fight.
I mean, look.
That's the Floyd Mayweather game.
Wait. I mean, like, come on. Like, he probably was smiling and going, damn, this fat guy can box. Like, I mean, when you watch his footwork, when you watch those, like, his training,
yeah,
like, he looks better than some of the guys who are fit.
Hell yeah.
Like, I'm telling you.
This was on the Sonato show. George Sonato had Tyson Fury on. And Tyson Fury, I mean, he was very nice to Anthony Joshua afterwards on social media. And I'm like, that ain't Tyson Fury. When's the real Tyson Fury going to come out with this? And he definitely finally had his say what he was really thinking about what happened when Anthony Joshua, who, by the way, he's a rival of.
Yeah.
Both come from the same country, and AJ is looked upon as the golden boy.
And he's looked at a bum because he's been in trouble and drugs and everything.
Yep. And so here's what he had to say.
Everybody bumps into that one person who can knock him out anytime. And unfortunately for AJ, it was a little fat fella from California who chinned him. And that's it.
Man.
And he'll never live it down. Can you imagine? You're built like an Adonis. You're 6'6". You're ripped. You're carved in stone. And a little fat guy who's at every Snicker and Mars bar in the whole of California comes in there and bladders you all over. What a disgrace.
Man.
Tyson Fury was here.
That was a strong word.
That was me. I'd never show my face in public ever again.
Courtesy of the Sedano show on ESPN LA.
I mean, look. The ripped guy, right? The big ripped buff guy can't lose to the chunky guy.
I never show myself again.
Like, he's right, though.
That was my favorite snippet, that his dad has given him a Snickers before every fight since he's a child.
He's held on to all of them.
Since it is is it Tuesday? Actually, it's Wednesday.
But still, throw it out there.
Just throw it out there. Because you know how these heavyweight boxers, they've not been fighting each other, and they've just been taking turns fighting different tomato cans.
Well, not fair. Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury fought each other.
They did. But then now Tyson Fury signed with somebody else. And
yeah, he's fighting the Schwartz, and apparently him and Deontay are going to fight again in December.
And Deontay Wilder fought that dude who KO'd in like 30 seconds.
That was ridiculous.
So just throwing this out Tobin, you even said it right there. You don't care about those fights unless they're fighting each other.
Correct.
You, Mr. Fighters Fury. Yep. 10 a.m. by the way, it's Sunday.
10 a.m. Sunday. Thank you, Robbie.
So I didn't even bother to watch this fat guy versus Anthony Joshua fight.
Yep.
Because it's a waste of time.
Right.
Do you think maybe they may have had done this on purpose just so the next time one of these guys fight the tomato you got to stick and watch.
Hey,
it's too much of a
bad look. Crazy?
Just throwing it out there. I'm not saying that's what happened.
You honestly think that he wanted to get his ass beat by that guy?
No, it's too bad a look.
It's too bad a look.
You got to go find somebody else, like, who's in a little bit better shape.
Like,
that's the point. The whole point was, look at this fat guy beating Anthony Joshua.
If we're talking about, like, back in the day, like, the old Sonny Liston phantom punch to Muhammad Ali, like, that's different. Like, all right, he looks the part. Imagine if Muhammad Ali looked like Andy Ruiz. No.
I mean, here's what... The most incredible thing is that under We've seen guys literally walk into a ring with a cigarette and a newspaper under their hand.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And look better than Ruiz.
That's the whole point.
I mean, oh, man. And I would
just throwing it out there. I said that's what happened.
I would have never picked the fat guy because he came in, he was moving. You know,
he has to compensate for his fatness.
He was boxing. He was, you know, doing some footwork in the ring.
He also came in a giant chinchilla coat, too. Like, he came in with the ring getup. And that's always my favorite thing, too, is I like seeing what attire people will have coming to the ring.
Who that was who used to come in on a throne?
Oh, Floyd did that.
No, but before Floyd, it was Prince, I can't think of his name, came in on throne.
I forget. I remember Floyd coming in on the Gladiator.
Yeah.
Floyd's had some good intros.
I mean, when we watched MMA, the guy came in with his own Latin rapper.
Yep.
Latin rapper, baby.
Sir enters.
I'm telling you, it was Prince.
Prince Nassim.
Yes. Ahmed. Yes. I mean, yeah. I mean, back then, though, like right when Floyd first started with Golden Boy and whoa, look at that.
It's a showman right there.
Yeah.
Prince Nassim. Floyd entering on the throne was against, I think, Carlos Baldemir, or it was against, it was either him or Arturo Gatti. I forget which one, but it was like when Floyd still wasn't quite on the breakout.
Prince Nassim, yeah.
Somebody texted the Prince of Mukamura.
No, he gets hurt a lot. He's 4-6.
Yeah, it was Floyd versus Carlos Baldemir. He destroyed
Somebody him. Said Apollo Creed. I'm surprised.
Apollo Creed had an amazing entrance.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
I mean, there's no antics now. There's so much money in boxing. There's no antics. Like, you don't knock people out on, like, remember when Tyson knocked out that Green?
Yeah.
Just out in the street. Like, you don't come.
Nah. Yep. That's him. That's him having, he brought in like a pharaoh. Well, it's kind of weird. He has like Egyptian dudes carrying him in, but he's wearing Roman gladiator gear. It's not very
really
consistent.
Huh?
Yeah. Those dudes dress like pharaoh, and he's not dressed like a pharaoh. He's dressed
they're dressed like peasants.
No, man, they're not dressed like peasants.
Yeah. That's what they look like.
That's great. No. No, you're off there.
Macho Camacho had good entrances too.
Love it.
I mean,
I always loved Bernard Hopkins too, coming in with the executioner mask. That was so badass.
I mean, what's funny? The difference between, there's been other guys very similar to Floyd Mayweather. And what I mean is that, like, Roy Jones Jr. basically beat himself, I mean, took himself out of the record books by trying to find fights.
Yep.
Because he was Floyd Mayweather before he started switching weight classes.
Yeah, and once he got to the point where he went up to heavyweight to go chase the heavyweight title, once he came back down, he wasn't the same.
Right. But he was unbelievable.
Yep.
And there, like, all the fights. And then that's when it got to the point where, like, boxing had good fights, but they just weren't generating any money.
That's right.
So, yeah, man, nobody doesn't like Floyd, and I can't even imagine. You already know what the result's going to be.
Texture does make an important correction, though. It was not $80 million for a chain. It was $18 for a watch. Still $18 million for a watch? Leroy.
No, you ain't telling me nothing.
I can't believe that. I can't. People allege there's out there, there's $4 million watches. Okay. It's still a level of rich I don't understand. I never will. But 18, why? Why is it 18 million? Does it have all the diamonds in the world? It's crazy to me. My brain doesn't compute it. And why would you even want to wear that? I would be terrified.
Does it have like a gold Iron Man suit attached to it? When you press a button, you get a gold suit on it?
I don't know.
And that's the only thing I could think of that would make it worth $18 million.
Diamonds. Probably diamonds and, you know,
you probably have no idea what time it is with that watch. It's probably so fancy, so diamonded up that you don't know what time it is.
Yeah, would you even trust bringing it to a watch replacement
place? By the way, Robbie, diamonded up?
Yeah. I mean,
diamonded up. Blinged up.
It's probably so much bling, you can't tell if it's 12:30 or 3:30.
We'll get into some NBA finals next.
I'm on my way.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tonight, it's game three of the NBA Finals. You can hear that on 790 The Ticket. What time's coverage start, Robbie? Was it 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock, the pregame, yep.
8 o'clock pregame for us.
Hate that.
The coverage?
No. When they go games at 8, but it's really coverage at 8, or the game's at 9, and you bust your hump to get in front of TV at 9, it starts at 9:15.
It's going to happen again today.
There hasn't been any updates on Clay, right? Like, he still just listed as questionable?
No, they just said, I just saw an ESPN and said game time decision.
All right.
Well, if this was the old days, we would get the update right now. We would just have Best of Levitard running.
Of course. That's when all the breaking news would happen. It would be in the 3 o'clock hour. It was funny. Like, I saw JaVale McGee say, like, this dude doesn't miss games. And everybody thinks he's going to be. The one thing I should have asked Tony about, and I didn't. We had Tony Fiorentino on in the first hour. I'll throw this to you, Leroy, as far as when you have a guy who's as talented as Klay Thompson or any guy who's on your team who's as talented, what is the level usually of a guy? It's beneficial to have him because he's one of your most talented guys, but he's banged up.
Versus
just having a replacement out there. Like, what's the difference and what's usually the line before you decide it's not worth having him go?
Think about this. He's a top five shooter in the league as far as three-pointers.
Yep.
That's part of your team identity.
Yeah.
He allows you to give Steph more opportunities because if you don't have another three-point threat, they're going to swarm Steph.
Yep.
And so from that standpoint, is he effective on the court even if he doesn't shoot the ball? Yes. Because the threat of him shooting it, right, gives Steph more opportunities.
Yeah. I think the only thing that you would worry about.
On the other end, it's a different story, but you also have to consider that.
Yeah.
You have to consider that.
Yep.
Right. It's like if we were playing Randy Moss and Randy Moss was banged up, right? And all he could do is run a straight line. You don't have to worry about him playing defense. But if Randy Moss is on the field, they're rolling coverages to him. They're doing everything. It might take him a quarter and a half to realize we're using him as a decoy. But in that quarter and a half, all hell's going to break loose because you're throwing it to everybody else.
Yeah.
And then at that point, you say, okay, it's not going to, you know, like, yeah, you're not helping your situation. So I don't know how. Keep in mind, he's also one of your better defenders.
Yep.
So is a 70%, Klay better than 100% somebody else?
And I think for him, he's going to think yes. I mean, this is a guy that he's regarded by his teammates. He doesn't miss games anyway. He's already looked upon as a tough guy who obviously doesn't say a lot.
Right.
And also came into the series with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder because of the whole All-NBA thing where he was not pleased that he was left off that list.
Right.
I kind of feel like he is going to play, and I do feel like he's, because of his skill set, you probably could get away with it better than another guy like if it was, you know, like Kyrie or somebody like that who needs everything.
Okay, now here's the question. I make you Steve Kerr.
Yep.
At what point are you going to look at the game and see what's going on, and you got Siakam, and you got Kawhi.
Yep.
Now, between Draymond's going to guard one of them, and usually it's Klay on the other guy. What if Klay can't guard the other guy?
That's going to, you know what?
Because more importantly, your team is in trouble because you need him defensively.
There is going to be a bit of an interesting thing with Toronto, though, because Toronto has been kind of on this high roll where they were on a winning streak. They finally things didn't go their way, and they did lose. Even with things not really going perfect for the Warriors. And so
that was a crap game, really, for everybody.
It was, but ultimately the Warriors come out rosy because they got one on the road.
Right.
So they're in the better spot. And now you have these young guys who have had all the things whispered about them that, you know, they're a team that choke and they never come through when it really matters. And this is an
adverse
situation.
But they don't know about that.
No, most of them do. Most of them do. I mean, like, Pascal Siakam is in a bigger spot this year, and Kawhi Leonard is their best player, but
right.
Kyle Lowry, VanVleet.
Okay, but knowing that and knowing what your past has been, Kyle Lowry, compared to what he's been in the playoffs, has been unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, he's
compared
he's on
to
his off.
What he's
his sidekick's better though,
and never underestimate his defensive ability.
Did you hear the DeRozan interview?
No. Oh no.
Made me sad.
Really?
Bummed me out. Yeah. He you said, got that, Robbie?
I'm happy for Toronto.
He goes, I'm happy. You got my best friend. If I had to be the sacrificial lamb.
Honestly, I don't even think I said this. I probably said this to my own inner circle, but if it wasn't for all the years and groundwork that I did before then, none of them things would have been possible. Yes, I fought, I sacrificed, I pushed the limits to where I had to be the sacrificial lamb. You just have to sit back and understand, like, you know, you are the reason so many things was even possible.
Stop the gun!
Oh, that little deep breath right there. I'm good. I'm fine.
So he would feel good if Kyle Lowry does something good tonight, but if Kawhi Leonard misses the game winner,
I
he's probably
tell
happy.
You, I'm going to tell you right now, between the two of you.
He's a better man than me.
Neither one of you would ever
better
be able to
me.
Play a professional sport.
Better man than me.
No chance.
Better man than me.
Oh, we're like
they would have had to call SWAT to get you out of the building.
Better man than me. I would be like, boo! You think I want my Cy Ujiri getting a ring? No thanks. Sorry, Kyle.
Really?
Sorry.
A lot of these NBA players are actually petty, more so than us. Like, LeBron was way more petty than we were about him during the team petty.
No doubt.
That is not what?
He sprinted to Dave McMenamin after he won the title, saying the motivation for his...
Pat Riley said, oh, this is going to be the biggest mistake of my life. And also, I'm never going to play in front of those fans again.
Those are his words, not ours. He has his petty grudge, too. He has definitely team petty towards Pat Riley.
Now, we're not that way anymore. But it takes two to tango.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
You tango by yourself all the time with the petty.
He traded Andrew Wiggins because he didn't sign with his agency. Ultimate petty.
Yep. Probably turned out to be a good move, though. It sucks.
Andrew Wiggins, he's making $20 million a year to be... He's the N1 to the plus one.
And he was like fist bumping Jimmy Butler after Jimmy Butler. He's just yelling at everybody in their practice. He goes, you make a good point. Shout out.
Plus one, Jimmy Butler.
Anthony Towns is so mad at him. He's like, hey, no, dummy, we want him out of here.
I give everybody plus one and minus one now. They have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. I'm telling you, we should just get
life?
Shirts to say plus one. Yeah. Like at the wedding. Minus one. Why? For stupidity.
It's like, sir, what does that mean?
What does that mean? Don't worry. I got my own personal.
If you have to go to a wedding in the fall of football season on a weekend, that's automatic minus one.
Yeah, I just found out one of my best friends is getting married, and his wedding's the same night as biggest UFC of the year in July.
July? We're going to be in Vegas in July.
No, later in July.
Oh.
His first week of July. We're in July. We're there 2 weeks later, and we're in Vegas.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Well, at least usually weddings don't go on at the same time as UFC's going on. UFC goes on super late.
UFC is streaming the whole place. Hopefully that wedding place has some wireless, because that thing is definitely going up on the iPad. I'm going to bring the Robbie tripod, because Jorge Masvidal is fighting Ben Askren,
wow.
And I am not missing that fight.
Wait. Are you in the...
No, thankfully. It's fine. Finally, I'm going to a wedding where I don't have to be in the wedding party. I can just go and party.
And watch UFC.
John Jones is fighting that night.
And your wife is going to be fine with this.
She doesn't have a choice.
You know what? Let me tell you something about men in general, Robbie. They were all Billy Badasses away from their wife. Like, you hear a tough guy over here? I'm going to go out on a limb and say, if he were to pull out some type of watching device at the wedding, she is going to flip out like she did with that iguana.
She'll give him minus one.
No. They don't give minus ones.
They don't like the games.
Right. They don't like my wife.
I got in trouble yesterday because I did Macho Marlins, man.
That's it.
I got in trouble with Macho Marlins, man, because I took my daughter's, she does the baton twirling. And so the video yesterday, Macho Marlins, man, he was the conductor of the hit parade. I needed a baton, so I took it from her. And then apparently when my daughter woke up this morning, she was upset because she couldn't find it anywhere. I must have left it in the studio, the Macho Man studio that I made in my garage. And so my wife's upset. And by the way, not shy about sharing her displeasure on Twitter with it.
Really?
Or Facebook.
Really?
Yeah, I don't care for that.
Really? You're quite quick to put up videos.
Well, look, the people want content, and I don't know what to tell you. I'm committed to the gimmick. And so I went out, I went across the street to the gas station, I got myself a Miller beer because the stupid Brewers lost, and they had that stupid Miller Park. So I drank a nice frosty can of their tears, and that's that. And we were leading the hit parade because everybody had a float. And that's going to continue tonight. And I hope Yelich gets the golden sombrero.
How did he was 0 for last night?
No, yeah, he was 2 for 2.
Wow. Yeah. He got walked twice?
No, he got pulled out of the game because they're losing so badly. They pulled him out of the game.
I would never want to get pulled out of a game.
He got mercy ruled.
Man, that's what they do in like college softball?
Yep.
Or is that
Little Run rule, yeah.
Yeah, he got run
rule.
He got run rules.
Man, I remember Little League. Man, there's no worse. You think you want to hurt the kids' confidence? Have mercy the run rule in. Mercy rule them.
You ever run and clock the team in college?
No.
Never?
Dude, you weren't beating somebody 45 to nothing?
You ready for this one? We played the University of Illinois. We ended up winning 69-3. The score got so bad, Bo was trying to put people in. So he put the guys who had done the scout team, and the only plays they really knew were Illinois' plays. Let's just say they were running their plays against them that they learned during the week from running scout team.
And they were still beating them?
I don't know what time the starters got out of the game. I was a freshman. As freshmen, we didn't truly understand the red shirt rule. Because we traveled, me and Jared Bunch and Chris Calloway and Greg McMurtry, we all traveled with the team every week while all the other bum freshmen stayed, back home, right? So we thought if it was a blowout, we might get a chance to play. So we start stretching and getting right. No, man, you're redshirted. You ain't playing. I'm like, what does that mean? Like, my whole year was over. We went to Hawaii my freshman year. We got to play Hawaii. One of the reasons why it was a big perk going to Michigan, because first year you go to Hawaii. We go out to Hawaii. One fullback was hurt. The next fullback got hurt. Last fullback got hurt. I ran into the game. My turn. They called the timeout. I said, what are you doing? I said, you don't have no more fullbacks. We'll go one back. I said, you went one back? I've been practicing all this time. No, nothing.
It's for nothing.
Yes. Red shirt
sucked.
Throw
a bone, man. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.